Hey, Frog fans, welcome to The Killer Frogs, a podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 153 for Tuesday, November 24th of 2020. Yes, it is Turkey Week. Gobble, gobble. By the way, anybody heard that song? Have you heard the Gobble, Gobble song? No?
No.
You got to Google it. Gobble, Gobble by Matthew West. Yes, it will. You'll hate me, but you'll be singing it all week long. Anyway. And on that note, on tonight's podcast, we've got Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hi, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. We also have Hunter Nix.
Up, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving.
He is back from the dead. You had the flu, right?
I did have the flu.
Not COVID, but the flu.
Not COVID. I thought I did, and I just had the flu, which
just the flu.
Was not fun.
It was worse.
Yeah. Okay. It was a nice 15-pound diet.
Hey, that'll come in handy right before Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Exactly. I'm taking it. Like, it was good timing.
Yeah, this is the perfect week to gain those 15 pounds back. So
exactly.
Hey, you know what? You got to take one for the team. I guess right before Thanksgiving is a good time to do it. You know, several years ago, I got my gallbladder taken out 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. I don't recommend it. We also have Nathan Hernandez on the podcast. Hey, Nathan.
Happy Cyber Weekend.
Black Friday, Cyber Weekend.
That took me a minute.
Nathan's already getting his Christmas list prepared. That's what's going on.
I'm getting other people's Christmas. I'm prepared to spend money on other people.
And rounding out tonight's panel, we got TCU Hall of Famer WC Nix. Hey, Dubber.
How's it going, everybody? Fired up. We're playing football again this week. So
yeah.
Better than thank goodness. Hey, well, Kansas' last game got canceled, right?
Yeah, they haven't played since November 7th.
Yeah, so what you're saying is there's a chance. We'll get into that a little bit later.
It's always tricky up there in Lawrence.
Who knows? Yeah, who knows?
I'm not going to say anything because we, with good teams, we seem to play bad in Lawrence. I don't know why.
I need to look up the weather.
The good thing is we're not going to be surprised by the lack of fans there.
Yeah,
well, that's true.
Very good point.
True. Yeah, 25% capacity at Kansas, is that 25% of their normal capacity, or is that just 25%? That's pretty ambitious for Kansas, I'm just saying. But
I assume everybody's going to get to go to the game that wants to, and it'll be like a regular crowd for Kansas.
It's the place to be in Lawrence.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to the frozen tundra of Kansas here in a little bit. But before we get there, let's talk a little bit about the TCU loss to West Virginia 24-6 this last week. This was a very bad game from beginning to end for the Frogs. And there was a lot of talk following the game about what are the things that Coach P needs to do to turn this around, because this is starting to become a train wreck pretty quick. So, Hunter, I know you had a good spot on the couch to watch this game. What were your takeaways from the West Virginia loss?
This offense is awful. We're horrible. Let's look at our drive chart during the game. We started off first half, punt, field goal, punt, punt, half. And then we came out in the second half, field goal, punt, punt, interception, and then we finished the game. That's our offense. That's what we had, and it was that exciting when you watched it during the on Saturday. It was that ugly. It was just they didn't run the ball well. They didn't throw the ball well. Max didn't play well. The offensive line didn't play well. No one played well. It was just a bad game, and they all played really, really bad on offense. Yeah, it was ugly.
You know it's bad when, at halftime when they're interviewing Coach P and he's like, well, you know, on defense, there's a couple things we got to do. On offense, they got to find the end zone. That was pretty much it. It was like, thanks, Coach. That's a good takeaway.
You know, that's probably the most disappointing thing for me this year is not having any offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought Brandon killed it. You brought Beecham back. You know, you knocked Sonny Cumbie out of the play calling because he doesn't play call very well, supposedly. Well, crap. I'm not so sure he went better last year than we are right now. I mean, I don't understand their offense.
I don't think they understand their offense either.
I still think we try to run too many running backs. I still think, you know, I wish You know, running back to me, maybe it's just changed, but you know, you get you a couple of running backs, and you know, I understand a couple maybe, but you got to give them carries if you want to run. They got to get a feel for the game. They got to get a feel for the blockers. They got to get a feel for, and when you give it three runs to one guy and four runs to another guy and two runs to, well, nobody gets a feel for the game. I wish they, I hate to say it, I wish they'd settle on a couple of just, I mean, I hate to say it. They can't all be so close. And maybe they are, but I'd grab a couple every week and let them run. If we're going to run the ball, we need to run the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially right now, with the way Max is playing.
You know, I don't know if he's hurt his shoulder. I don't know if he's beat up. I don't know what, but he has not been on the last – he wasn't on before either. He's not really been on the last few games. He's been missing. He's off target right now.
Yeah, he was not throwing very well at all the entire game. He ain't overthrowing anybody from very
– Yeah. And you know that first, when it happens once or twice, I mean, at first you're okay, you used to come back, but it's become kind of a habit now. Last few games, it seems like. So there's a lot of questions, and it's not just Max. I mean, it's the whole offense. But
I just, it's not just Max, but Max had had, you know, Max has had other games that were good, or you know, even when he'd had bad passing games like Baylor, he didn't have a good passing day. But he still ran for 3 touchdowns and like 170 yards. So he's made up for it. This is the first game where he really made no impact offensively at all, passing or running. And, you know, when he's not and no running back are also having an impact, it's not a very good offense. You know, we were just really, really bad.
Yeah, I think for us to make that next jump in – talent level, he can't have those games. Like, he's got to be more consistent. Like, there's going to be games where he's going to be able to rush or he's not going to be able to rush. But whether those happen, he still needs to be able to throw consistently. And it don't have to be amazing, fit him in tight window passes. Just make the easy throws. Because I feel like just over the last, like, however many years, TCU has made the easiest things hard, and that is why like we can't put together wins, is we just make the easy things difficult.
It's a good way to put it. That
right, I agree with that totally. But I will say this, you know, before the West Virginia game, I think we kind of halfway talked about halfway didn't, but you know, West Virginia had a pretty dang good defense.
I mean
they were ranked number one, I think, or they were up there at the top. Well, everybody thought that, you know, well, maybe they haven't played this guy. I think they're showing they got a pretty good defense.
Agreed. Yeah, their defense is definitely, I mean, I would say it was the best we played this year, you know, but at the same time, we also made them look probably better than they are as well, because we laid an absolute goose egg on offense.
Yeah, but, I was surprised we were even able to get in the field goal range.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, it was, and when we did, we kicked the field goal, and that was it. I mean, we were never really attacking the whole game. Even when it was relatively close at half, and we, like, the whole time I was going, man, I'm really surprised we're this close at half. And then they went and scored a few more times, and then you know, we were never in any real position to win that game. It seemed like
no,
not you know what I found interesting. So we were back in the car by the time Gary came on for his post-game press conference. And didn't you all happen to hear that? It was not what I was expecting. Like, he was just very cool about the whole thing. You know, it was like, yeah, you know, I told the players, you know, they don't need to hang their heads on this, you know, this one. And I was thinking, hello, where did Coach Pego, you know, that sounds more like Gary instead of, you know, Coach Patterson. It was very, very lackluster, kind of, I wouldn't say it was emotionless. It was just like, no big deal. I don't want to be too hard on the kids. And I just didn't, I don't know. I don't know if they're just chalking this season up to. We're going to be thankful that we just get to play football and not worry about losing or what. But it was uncharacteristic of Gary Patterson. I'll be interested to see what he says on his press conference tomorrow.
I think he realizes he's got a fragile team mentally.
Is that it?
Yeah.
And fragile team mentally. If you browbeat them all you want, but all you're doing is compounding the problem. You know. I think he's trying another angle. You know, trying to I got off track there. Somebody came in the background.
Sorry. My wife's watching the dog. We're taking the dogs with us to San Antonio this week. So she's watching them and
that, I little, no, that's great. That's great.
Our little schnoodle was all wet running right by my leg. Sorry about that.
But no, really, I feel like that because of that ride, I feel like that's why he's doing it. I mean, I think
really?
I think mentally
we are a young team as well. We're a young team. It's just
we always seem to be a young team. We always got to grow up.
Yeah,
right?
Eventually we have to grow up, and we keep hearing we have to grow up. It stinks, but yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what I agree with you, Dad. I think he thinks at this point he can't. I mean, what's yelling going to do at this point? It's obviously not worked up until now, I guess, because we've seen.
I don't know how much
lose.
Yelling he's done this season at all.
I know. Maybe. Nathan, what do you think about that? I mean, you were there for several years. You had to have had a young team at some point. You were the young guy. So do you think he's kind of changing a little bit or kind of leveling out or what?
I think with how easily it is for kids to transfer now.
Yeah.
I think that's having a little bit to do with it. Because we've seen how many people enter a transfer portal during the season. I think he's trying to be careful right now with we're not doing well. So everybody's already on edge. You don't want to push them past the point of they leave and you lose everybody, which is kind of already starting to happen. We've with our receivers, everybody's leaving. John Stevens just entering the transfer portal too, not too long ago.
But I will say those guys left. They were not playing because of underclassmen playing. So
I think our issue is what we get these guys that do really well their freshman year, and they're expecting the world after that. And then I can't put it on them. I can't put it all on the coaches. There's two sides to it every time, but. They don't end up playing for whatever reason. And then the young guys, the freshmen that come in end up playing, and it's basically just a cycle. The freshmen that come in just play, and the guys that played and had their breakout year end up not doing that much the next year. And so then they're just like, why am I even here? And so then they transfer. But
yeah, but you know what? The way I look at that is, I don't know, maybe I'm old school. Come try to take my job, what you're doing. That's what you're talking about.
No, absolutely. I think that this generation in general.
I'm gonna make you take my job from me. Period. I'm not. I never had that. I won't say fear, but I had an attitude that I'm not gonna let anybody take my job.
Yeah, you gotta work for it.
And I work. You gotta work for this. That I do believe you're right in some respect, because I think you get real successful, you can get complacent. I think the ones that become great football players are the ones that build upon their freshman year. They want to be better their sophomore year, be better their, So I don't know. I mean, it's just, hey, the other thing that's happened is we're getting, I always say this, and we are getting better recruits. There's no doubt about it. But, Coach Patterson's great with a certain style of recruit. And I'm not saying that he's bad with any recruits. I'm just saying this recruit here, they're more, I won't say they're entitled or feel like they're entitled, but they were definitely recruited by everybody. So it's not like they got a chip on their shoulder. They come in, they're good. And what it does, I don't know how you motivate that kid. I guess.
I don't agree completely because, I mean, Alabama does it. Clemson does it.
They know how to motivate.
Exactly. Like there are teams that do it. In fact, they maybe, you know, turn over players more than anyone. I was looking at something actually today. Alabama signed 105 players over the last 4 years. So there's 85 players that can be on a roster at a time. That's how many scholarships you have. Alabama signed 105. So where are all those coming from? Kids leave everywhere. Every good school has kids transfer. Every good school does. It's just part of it now. And so it is different, but TCU is also going to benefit from this so much. All those guys that are leaving who weren't playing very much, those are probably going to turn into O-linemen and D-linemen next year who will see the field pretty quick because, I mean, we've got holes. So I look at it as can only be a good thing for us because I will say people do like playing at TCU. We've gotten good transfers. I mean, Ben Banigou, great transfer.
I just hate the portal deal just because of some like that. Like I said, I mean, somebody gets unhappy quick, and you know they have no idea. You know, as a kid, I mean, me myself included, when I was playing, you always think you know what the coach thinks about you. You always think you know. You really don't know what the coach is thinking. I mean, you really don't. You know, now you might know when you're in the doghouse, or you might know when you're blah blah blah, but you don't really know when you're sitting there in that next step. And boy, kids just. It's instant gratification right now. Either if they're not, they just pack up and leave, and you know.
Yeah, I think it's just this generation that's kind of very, very impatient with results.
Yeah,
and it's the like you said, instant gratification. Like everything we do nowadays gets a result like right away. But if you don't, you start to get impatient, and you're like, you know what, screw it, I'll just move on, and it sucks. But.
Well, the sad thing about it is they go somewhere else and they got the same problem.
Yeah. I
mean, you could have the same problem somewhere else.
Yep. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight for a spot no matter where you go. It
always work out.
Oh, no doubt it didn't always work out. And yeah, for every good guy that transfers away, there's also just as many people that do not make it. So totally agree.
More that don't make it.
Or probably, yeah.
Same situation or worse.
No doubt. Agreed.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But, you know, if Patterson's changing his coaching style to cater to that behavior, I think that's the wrong move. If he's trying to change his coaching style, though, to be more – to try to understand how to motivate those kind of players, I could understand it. But to, you know, to what Ryan was saying, to Ryan's point, and from what we've seen just on the sidelines this season, he's not the same. He is not running around getting in people's faces. He's not, you know, chewing them out at every turn like we've seen in the past. So there's obviously a change in his coaching style. It's just, where is it coming from? What is his motivation behind that change? Is it he's just gotten to the point where he's just like, you know, I don't know how to handle these people. They're just soft mentally, and I'm just not going to rock the boat. Or is it I'm trying to change to what some of these other coaches have done and have found success. And I don't know which path that he's on. And one really worries me. And the other one, it's like, does that just take time? I mean, I don't know.
Well, and the thing too is that's Gary's reputation. Like, that's who he is. So you almost on the TCU team need a good cop, bad cop. That's what was so great about Cumbie is I don't think a cuss word's ever come out of his mouth, you know? So he kind of balanced to Gary. And people know that coming into TCU. And then when he changes, to me, from my perspective, it almost looks like he doesn't care, which I know that's not true, but that's kind of how it comes across because you're just seeing so much energy and passion out of him. And back to Alabama, I guarantee Saban has not changed his coaching to you know, cater to this new generation. And, you know, and you can't blame it all on the generation. It's very easy to do that, but it comes from parenting. You know, his parents are not teaching their kids the right things. So I don't know where that all went off the rails, but I mean, so Hunter and Nathan, y'all, and then you guys have Hunter, you were raised right. Nathan, you raised right. Sean, you got young kids. I mean, you know, we're the difference. I don't have kids, so I can't say anything. I probably would have screwed up my kids even worse, but but probably why I didn't have kids. So, but you know, it's just something I don't know. It is a generation thing, which means it's kind of got to be a parenting thing too, which I don't know. I don't know what you do about that, but I guarantee you.
I see it in my classroom too.
It's always been.
It's not just sports. I mean, I see it in the academic area too.
You do? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Point. Absolutely.
Well, and even in, yeah.
Sorry,
but I'm gonna still tell you, I'm gonna give the benefit of the doubt. I mean, Coach Patterson, because you know, I agree with you, Sean, to a point, but you know, the last home game we were at, I saw him getting some people's grill. I mean, he got three. Now he didn't get their base, but he got some people, and the people that there's some people he didn't, because I think he knew that at that point in time, mentally they're pretty fragile and he did a lot of encouraging that there was a couple of players, young players, that got burnt on defense, especially, and he encouraged them guys. I mean, he even told, and basically, I think he told them, get your head up. This football, that's what's going to happen. But he was encouraging. Now, after he talked to them, he kind of got let it out. He let it out with a few other people. But – I don't know. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt, because we could all sit around here, and I'm old school. I'm probably more old school than everybody here. But at the same time, you can sit around and say, you can't change, you can't do this, you can't do that. But if you don't, you're not going to – I mean, it's hard to run a program. And I know that Saban's successful, Baba's successful. They start losing a little bit. And then if we're winning – there's a lot of problems that are solved. I don't think the transfer portal's as open as it is right now, and stuff like that. You know, but you know, when you have the success that you would like to have or used to have it, then all of a sudden that just breeds a lot of other stuff also.
And I will say, the players might be more fragile this year, but it's a different year than normal years. They're not getting it may be taking a toll on them somewhat too. But, you know, it's not a normal year. They're not going and seeing people. They get to see the same 85 to 105 people, all their teammates and coaches and, you know, support staff, but they're not doing anything else than football. So it's probably a little bit different grind than – no, I mean, really, it's probably a little bit different grind than a normal year.
Yeah, they don't go to blow off steam.
When I think about that, it's kind of like what Coach Bell was saying. It's like all they have is football.
Yeah,
I mean, that's amazing. You don't feel like you're missing out on anything.
But you know? It's amazing, but you're also a 21-year-old at that point who's like, you know, thinking about girls and everything else. And also, you know, you're in college. You know, this is the one time a year you get to go, or one time in your life where you get to be in college. And you already have a lot to do with football. And then you make it where that's the only thing. So that definitely – I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but once you start losing a little bit, you know, again, that makes things a lot harder whenever you have to be committed 24/7 being 3-4.
Like you said, it's just like soccer, you know, him talking about the girls, how they didn't get to go to any football games. They didn't go to nothing. They were locked down except for soccer. Until soccer was over, you know, they didn't do anything. They didn't go out. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. You know, that's a different deal. I mean, it's easy for us to sit around and say that. I mean, blah, blah, blah. But that's a different deal when you're that age. And I don't know. I think I'd had that discipline just because I love the football aspect of it. But it sure wouldn't have been easy.
I mean, tell me how much I want to sit at my house right now, and the only thing I have to do is work and do that. I mean, football is much more fun, but it still sucks. I would much rather be doing other things, you know? And then to be 21 and thinking that, much different.
It's just good that this year, at least, they don't have the temptation. It's not like those parties are going on and they're not at them. They're just not going on. Well, I'm sure they're going on a little bit.
They're going on.
Apparently, you haven't driven by the campus at Friday yet. I live right over here by the campus. I drive by and I see people piling cars and trucks and this and that. They don't look like COVID's really bothering them. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Good for them. Good for them.
Well, and a quick programming note for those of you who didn't catch that interview with Coach Bell, that was in our last episode, episode 152. So if you get a chance, go ahead and listen to that one, because that was a great interview with an amazing coach. And so, yeah, anyway, but back to this. So interestingly enough, there's been a lot of talk among the fan base about, you know, what in the world can Coach Patterson do at this point? Patterson came out this week, said there's not going to be any in-season evaluations being done with the coaching staff. He's not going to do anything till the end of the season, which has been his policy since the very beginning. But obviously some fans are pissed and they really want to see some changes. And oddly enough, we got news that it looks like Coach Fuente may become available next season. So yes, talking about getting the band back together, any chances you think Coach Patterson goes after Fuente and makes an offensive coordinator change here?
I mean, I can't put it past him.
I would. I mean, I think Coach Patterson, one of his things is downfalls is his loyalty. I mean, the coaches, I mean, you know, and it's a business where, you know, when you get on Coach Patterson's staff, you look at some of them guys, they time he has, and it's hard for coaches to be able to stay around somewhere that long. And I think sometimes he gets too loyal. And I hate, don't get me wrong, I don't, you know, we all will work and you make money for your family and this and that, and that's exactly what they're doing too. But, you know, they get paid to win football games. And sometimes it has nothing to do with maybe the caliber of the coach. Sometimes it's just a change. So it's just a wholesale change in everything. And I think with this being how many years now with the offense, I mean, you know, three or four now.
Four years.
I mean, you've really got to start looking at, hey, this system just not working. It's not working here for whatever reason. It's not working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you had Coach Kell, I think, worked with Fuente last year. So I would think that if anything change-wise would happen, I think Cumbie and Meacham and then bring in, you know, Fuente, if that was possible, I think that would be a really nice change of pace. Like you said, Deborah, I think that's – sometimes you got to make a change. You got to shake things up. And I think that would be – that would kind of be in his wheelhouse, because it's a guy he knows. It's a guy who knows the program. And it's a guy that has already worked with – several of the staff that's currently, you know, here. So I think that would be
so
nice.
Give me a little background on him. When was he with TCU?
For a while.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fuente left for was it Virginia Tech, right?
So, and he's been the head coach there for seven or eight years now, I think.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah, so he was back when the Rose Bowl year.
2007 to 2011.
Yeah.
Got it.
So that was his offense with, you know, Andy Dalton and those guys. And that
interesting.
He's a fantastic coach.
So he's been a head coach. He might be, get him back. Maybe he rolls right into the head coaching position when Gary retires in however many years.
Yeah. I would be okay with that.
Yeah. Do you think there's going to be a lot of firings this year with COVID and everything? I just don't.
See,
I
didn't think so at first, but I think they're, now that I say that, I mean, Michigan's going to fire. Herman's got a chance. There's some big jobs that are going to open up, and if big jobs open up, small ones will too. Yeah. So
Harbaugh should have been gone a long time ago. Let's all, true. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Tom Herman for sure.
Yeah.
You think Del Conte will come after Gary?
No.
You don't?
No, because he knows he won't leave.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, and after the last couple of seasons, do you think the University of Texas fan base would be okay with that?
No.
I mean, we've basically been Texas's daddy, and that's about it the last 3 years. And so,
yeah, I think a little bit here. And Baylor.
We worked at a coach defense, so that's what Texas is like the last 10 years.
True.
He's like.
Speaking of defense, we did have someone go on a watch list this week.
Yes.
Kari Coleman
hey.
Is on the Ted Hendricks watch list, which is for best defensive end in college football.
That's my guy right there.
TCU player Jerry Hughes won it in 2009. Mm-hmm. And Kari leads all freshmen in the country with 9.5 tackles for loss. So pretty big deal for him. Yeah, he's been a stud so far.
I like him.
He has stepped up big time this season. Mm-hmm. It's been nice to see him progress.
He just got a motor that runs all the time. If everybody played as hard as he did, we'd be in a lot better shape right now.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's certainly someone to be thankful for this season.
Yeah, yeah.
And speaking of being thankful, did you like that transition, Hunter?
Yeah,
beautiful.
He was grinning from ear to ear when I brought that up. You know, it is Thanksgiving week, and we wanted to take a quick moment to kind of go around the panel this evening and just kind of talk a little bit about what we're thankful for. And I know there's a lot of people who 2020 has obviously not gone the way anybody had hoped. Everybody's plan kind of immediately went out the window in the first couple of months of the year, but there are some things looking back. I think we can all kind of agree that if we could focus on some of the positives or some of the things that we are thankful for, I think that would really help us all out. So Ryan, why don't you kick us off? What are you thankful for this year?
You know, as many things that have been rotten about this year, I feel like it's been balanced with kind of an equal and opposite reaction, you know, having to stay at home and not getting to travel to away games and things like that has given me the opportunity to go over to my parents' house and watch the games at their house, which I'm thankful for, you know, and then, so it's almost like our lives have been disrupted, but it hasn't all been negative. So I have found the good in being able to stay at home more often. I've just been able to be closer to spend more time with my families and their elderly. So that's important time. And it's been nice not having to travel every single week for work. But work has still been very busy. So I'm still getting a paycheck. So you've got to be thankful about that. And gosh, let's knock on some wood that I haven't, you know, caught COVID yet. So, you know, I've kind of had the best of both worlds. So I hope I can at least finish the year out and like that. And, you know, we can sort of next year moving into 2021 is remember what we enjoyed about 2020. You know, things just kind of slowing down, which I needed. And so maybe we can take a little bit of that into 2021 and then, you know, bounce back and balance out the future, because I think we were rocking and rolling, everything was going great, and we were getting all a little too comfortable with what was going on, and you know, I don't know, a little greedy with everything, and I just feel like it was a kind of a checkpoint for us, and I kind of appreciate that a little bit. So that's my take on 2020.
Excellent. Nathan, how about you? What are you thankful for this year?
Mine's a little less philosophical. No, mine would have to be being able to use or do activities or like run into things without large amounts of pain.
Well, I can see that.
I'm going to get an example of that.
Okay, so explanation. on October, on Halloween, I got a hairline fracture in my hand. We're not going to ask how, but I did.
I was going to say, did you punch a wall or something?
No, there was no punching inanimate objects. But anyways, yeah, so like I have a hairline fracture in my hand, and the amount of times I hit my hand on stuff is ridiculous. Like you don't think about it like when it happens because it just doesn't – there's no pain involved. But then you like have this and you like, I hit it on my steering wheel all the time, or like I use it the wrong way, like to like close my doors or something. I don't even know. I just like hit it so many times on a daily basis. It's mind boggling.
So is it able to heal at all? Cause you're constantly re-injuring it.
I'm sure it is somehow, but I mean, cause I use it all the time at work and everything. Cause like I just move a lot of stuff. And so that's where the activities come in. So it would be nice to not have pain in my hand when I just do everyday things, but I will get back to that point. So I'm thankful for that point.
You're thankful that you realize now how important your hand is. You took it for granted.
It's like if you like hurt your pinky, you don't ever realize how much you use your pinky until you actually need it.
It's a good point.
Yeah, I could see that. Not having pain is always a good thing to be thankful for.
Yes.
100%. Hunter, how about you? What are you thankful for?
I'm going to be much shorter than the last two. I'm thankful this year. We bought a house this year, so that was, you know, quarantine helped out because, you know, we were not spending any money on anything else, just saving up for a house. So that was good. And lots of time to, you know, do stuff in the house. And then also that we get to play Kansas this week because we're going to beat Kansas because they're awful. So, yeah. That's
wood.
Yeah.
I love the optimism.
I knocked on wood still because I don't feel that good about it because they're still us. But I'm still thankful we get to play Kansas this week. I'd rather play them than anyone else.
So. See, we don't have to, like, not play because of COVID. Like, we get to actually play a football game, so that's good.
Exactly, yeah. Hopefully. Yeah, I think we
knock on wood again. Jeez.
Yeah, knock on wood. So, yeah, that's me.
All right, well, congrats on the home. And
yeah.
I hope you're right about
Kansas. Interest rates were low.
Mm-hmm. It was nice. It was a good time for it. So.
That's excellent. Fun.
Dubber, how about you?
Well, let's see here. I got a list, but I'll keep it short. Yeah, I'm saving it. I'm thankful I got a job. I'm thankful that my business hadn't slowed down, knock on wood, this year like a lot of people have. So I'm doing well there. I'm thankful that nobody in my family, that we've had the same person twice we thought had COVID, and he's on the podcast.
He's had everything else but COVID,
but no COVID. So knock on wood, we haven't had COVID, you know, in any of my family so far. And, you know, so just, and I'm thankful my wife hadn't hung me yet since we get to spend as much time as we get to spend together.
That's the truth.
And I can be a little obnoxious when I'm at home, when I get a little bored. So, anyway, you know, besides having to sit around some a little bit, it could have been a lot worse year. So I'm not going to gripe and complain and this and that. Hey, we get to watch football. We're frustrated, but you know, at some point, at first, none of us thought we were going to get to see college football. Period.
Yeah.
Maybe not any sports for the whole. You know.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I'm thankful that we're, you know, as bad as we play it sometimes and this that. I'm thankful that we're getting to sit here and talk about it every week.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Definitely. Yeah, you know, I'm kind of the same way. Beginning of the year. So what a lot of people may not know about me is that not only am I a professor, but for the last 17 years, I've also run a online ticketing company. Think of it like Ticketmaster, Eventbrite, for nonprofit theaters, which come March of this year, everybody shut down for a very long time. And, you know, wasn't able to take a salary for pretty much the entire year just so I can keep my employees, you know, on board. And now we have a second round of lockdowns going through. But what I'm thankful for in that moment is that, you know, God kind of opened an opportunity for my wife 2 weeks before everything hit the U.S. Her boss came to her and said, she was working part-time, and said, hey, we got this opportunity here. I really would want for you to come on board full time and head up the entire billing department. And we were kind of talking about it, and we're, you know, right. This is 2 weeks right before COVID. And a lot of it was, you know, hey, I don't know if we really want to do this. You're spending a lot of time with the kids and, you know, nobody's going to, you know, how are we going to handle it with the kids and your teaching schedule and everything else. And, you know, we prayed about it and thought about it. And she eventually accepted. 2 weeks later, who's home with the kids? Me. And I have been since spring break of 2020 and will be through August because my teaching job is all online next semester as well. So it did, it worked out. And, you know, yeah, it's not great that my company is not doing so well because of the lockdowns, but I'm thankful that I've been able to keep all of my employees employed and been able to pay for them and make sure that their families are taken care of. So it's been good that her income has kind of supplemented a little bit about what we've lost, but I've been able to keep everybody else, you know, whole. And that's been a blessing. And I think that's something that, well, 2020 did not turn out to be the year, and we were all, you know, projected best year of the company and everything else. And while everything just kind of crumbled down, it wasn't a complete and total loss. And in fact, I think a lot of guys have found that it's been very beneficial for them as well, in a lot of the areas that y'all have already mentioned. So that's what I'm thankful for this year. That and my kids got to go to school, and their career campus since August has been awesome. They've had like a 0.08 infection rate.
And, wow. Good for them.
They are just the happiest kids to get up every morning and go to school. I've never had a school year in which they are ready to go to school before I can even get out of bed. I've never seen this before. So I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah.
You're doing something right, Sean, that your kids love going to school.
It's
that's
just
good.
The fact that they get to go to school.
They're friends. Yeah. It's been absolutely a humbling year for sure. Sean, you do something else as well with whiskey, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've
How's that going?
I had a couple of things. Yeah, so our that's another good thing that's happened. So yeah, our distillery down in Waco some of you may think about, but so back in 2009, I got started with in the whiskey industry doing website design, and I've been a web designer since the 90s. So just a quick little background on me, and I did a lot of consulting work and website work for a lot of different distilleries. But I got started with a certain distiller down in Waco in 2009, who turned out to kind of be like the Willy Wonka of whiskey. And he opened up another distillery in 2014. And I've been fortunate enough to help on the ground floor with that one. And we've just finished he hand-built four stills, and they're four massive stills with copper. I mean, him and a three guy group has been working on stills for the last 5 years, and they finally finished all four stills, and they're being installed. And they'll start making out whiskey here in the next couple of months. So I do all manner of weird things, and you know, I'm thankful
you're jack
that
of
I
all
can
trades.
I master of none, but yeah, it's it's fine. I enjoy doing all sorts of oddball things, and it keeps me busy and out of trouble.
Well, keep us posted. We got to get that alcohol on our next trip for sure.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, that's another industry that's been hit pretty hard by all this. But it's been good.
I was just shocking because I feel like I've been drinking more during this COVID time than ever. I've built up a tolerance. I mean, it's good. Yeah, you too, Nathan.
Oddly enough, I've drank less during this whole thing than I have in the past. So I'm thankful for that.
I don't know what to say about that.
Maybe it's because I've been with my kids so much. Maybe that's it.
Oh, maybe. Oh, yeah. Y'all, the funniest thing, and I wish I could remember what it is, but, you know, we've seen some of the greatest memes on social media during this time, but the one, and I wish I could quote it, but I can't, but it's something to the effect of, you know, all the parents having to homeschool, and they're like, forgive me if my kids don't learn anything because I've pretty much been, you know, drinking the whole time I've been trying to teach them. So I think after this is something else to be thankful for, is I think parents have a lot more respect for the teachers out there,
or less respect depending on whether or not they saw some of the Zoom meetings they were having. I'm just saying
that's not their fault. I'm glad to hear everybody has found some joy out of 2020. It's been a humbling year for sure, but I still think there's been more good than bad that's come out of it. A lot of perspective, I guess I will say. So, but looking forward to next year as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, talk about looking forward to things while Nathan opens up a package for his early cyber Home Alone and Home Alone 2.
We were just talking about that. That's one of the best Christmas shows next to Elf.
Nice. Die Hard. Die Hard's the best Christmas
movie. That's what Mike said. I said, what's your favorite Christmas movie? He said Die Hard. I was like, that's not a Christmas movie.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
I'll be honest with you. My wife and I, our favorite Christmas movie is The Ref.
The what?
The Ref. Dennis Leary.
I don't know that one.
You don't know that one? You got to check it out.
Okay, I will. I will watch that.
Fantastic movie. Anyway, sorry about that little interlude there. Nathan was ripping open Amazon packages. I was thinking Cyber Friday's come a little early. Cyber Monday's come early. And now he's opening up Home Alone Disney and Movie Home Club. Alone 2. I didn't see, was that DVD or was that Blu-ray?
4K for Home Alone and 4K then Blu-ray remastered. For the second one.
Nice, very nice.
Blu-ray for the second one.
Oh, well,
I got them on my Disney Movie Club subscription.
This whole podcast has just been like one river with so many tributaries going off of it. Yeah.
I like that analogy.
Yeah, do you like that one? Yeah, we got there, but like there's a lot of legs coming off this thing.
That's all right. That's just 2020 for us.
I can just be the title of the podcast.
Thing.
Yeah.
A river with many tributaries. I like that.
Yeah.
Good
leading
use
to
of,
nowhere.
Tributaries. That'll be nice.
That's the key point right there.
I was a history major. I had to take a lot of geology and
tributaries
geography
to nowhere.
Yeah.
There's your podcast title for the week, folks. Yep. Speaking of tributaries to nowhere, let's talk about Kansas.
Let's talk about Lawrence. I did look up the weather. It's going to be cold, but it's not supposed to rain. However, it could rain if the forecast changes because there's rain kind of on sandwiching Saturday. So
how cold is it?
51. That's cold for the frogs.
Wow. 51. That's perfect.
It's cold for the frogs. I'm telling you.
Well, it's a night game.
He means perfect for old linemen.
That's
some of those receivers are going
to
be
run the football.
Well,
it is going to be.
It doesn't matter. Our receivers may not touch the ball. We might run it 50 times. It doesn't matter.
Hey, what time is this game? Do we know yet?
7 o'clock.
I'm sure it's
7. 7 p.m. No, it's 7 p.m.
Yep.
Serious?
Our first night game of the season is against
Kansas.
Game
in Lawrence.
So it might be colder than 51.
What day is it on?
How did we get that time slot?
Saturday. Not Friday, Saturday. Saturday night, 7 o'clock, Frogs.
Are there no other games on at all?
I mean, really?
I have no idea. I have no idea how we pulled that one off.
Is it a bye week for the rest of the league?
Every
the rest
college
of the league, the rest of the country.
Yeah, it's all in
the
NBA.
I will say, it's a good point because the low that night is 32. So we're going to be talking.
It's going to be, yeah. It's going to be 39 at game time.
All right.
The little
tiles,
they don't do well.
We're going to run the ball.
39?
Baylor has a game at 6, too.
I mean, I'd love that weather.
Yeah, Baylor game's at 6. I don't know.
Oh, you know what else happens this
week?
Maybe
they just flipped everything.
Kind of backtrack a little bit and do another tributary. Tributary, right?
Yeah.
Is the college football playoff rankings come out. We're all filming this on on Monday, so they come out tomorrow, Tuesday. By the time y'all are listening. So we should just for fun maybe pick the top four. Let's do it. Nathan, go.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, who? Obviously Alabama number one. I'll go first. Alabama number one. Ohio State number two. Okay, just because Notre Dame beat Clemson is a bunch of crap because Clemson did not have their quarterback. So I still think that Clemson's better than Notre Dame. And I think Notre Dame is always overrated. So I'm going to do Clemson at number, I don't know, four maybe? And number three? Okay, no, I'll do, I don't know. I just don't know. Y'all go. I'll fill in the blanks in a second. No.
Texas. Iowa State.
They're bad. All right, Sean, you go.
Oh, geez. Alabama one. Alabama's second string two.
Nick Saban's grandkids.
Alabama's gray shirts three. And
the band. Duh.
Nathan's Cyber Monday list for four.
Oh, y'all are not very nice. Hunter, come on.
I'm going, but you're not going to like my fourth pick, and you're not going to like my third pick either.
It's
Bama, Ohio State, 1-2, you know. And then Notre Dame is number three.
Okay.
And then BYU. I want to see the Mormon Manziel in the playoff, all right?
I like that one.
Their quarterback is incredible.
All right, I have mine.
Okay, Nathan.
All right, go for it.
Oops, point.
Alabama won, obviously. 2 and 3, I'm going to have Ohio State and Notre Dame. And that if the order might flip, so I don't know. You never know.
You know they're going to want Alabama and Ohio State to play in the national championship.
Okay, well, see, as much as it hurts you to hear that, it hurts me even more to say this. I'm really scared they're going to put A&M in the top four.
Oh, my God. I know. I know. Where are they right now, like number 5?
They'll put Clemson in before. Yeah, but they got beat by Alabama.
Yeah.
Can I just ask y'all this? Listen. If Notre Dame and Clemson played on a neutral field again, and they had all their players, who would win?
I mean, I think Clemson would, but Notre Dame could still.
That's why Clemson should be ranked first.
See, but the quarterback still. He was out. That's part of it. Hey, it's not about it.
He wasn't injured.
It's not about that though. It's about he wasn't there.
This is my predictions. I mean, this is my top four. Number 1 is Alabama. Number 2 is Iowa State, and the rest don't matter. So, that's the two teams that are going to the national championship.
We're back to the BCS.
Those two teams are by far better than everybody else.
Yeah.
That's true.
Ohio State, as bad as they played last weekend, and they still won.
And Indiana's good.
Exactly. Football team.
I think 4 will be A&M or Oregon.
God, I hope
just
it's not
shoot
A&M.
Me now.
I hope it's not.
If it's A&M, just this is the worst year ever. Yeah. If A&M goes to the playoff, I will declare this the worst year ever.
Y'all don't understand. Like, I hate A&M. Like, I
more
than any other school, A&M just.
Do you see the look on my father's face?
I promise you, you can't hate A&M worse than I do.
You know what? I will see that.
Nathan, back when we were in school, listen to this.
Achilles.
So, Nathan, back when WC and Sean and I were in school, we played A&M, and they were awful to play against. Awful.
You played them against football when I was there.
Then I won't put on the pod.
A&M sucks.
Yeah.
A&M was bad to play against, but we were bad playing against A&M, too. So, I mean,
yeah, we were.
It wasn't pretty. Anyway, it did. Yeah, I mean, when I was there, it was, you know, we had A&M actually.
Sidebar.
I've
had so many friends go there, too, and they just do not let me forget it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo! You suck.
Yeah.
The good news is we beat them in baseball all the time, so.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That is so. Yes. And who was the player that went – it was – what was his name?
Boomer.
Went A&M, and then we beat him that very next year. God, that was beautiful.
He used to wear his Aggie ring in his glove, and I didn't respect him after that.
Now we just need to beat him in soccer.
Yes.
Oh, really? Okay.
I agree.
Because the one soccer game – the NCAA soccer game I went to, we played A&M, and we lost 1-0.
Oof.
I was very sad, but –
yeah, we're not very worried about Kansas.
Sorry.
We're not worried about Kansas.
Ryan's tributary took us to the national.
On my Kansas prediction.
Wow, Nathan, that's interesting.
What was that?
33-10.
33-10, okay. I'm going to go not that much because I don't think we're going to score 30 points. We're going to score 28. It's going to be 28-12.
Hold on. I got to write these down. 33-10.
And 28-12.
Wait, did you say 12?
Yeah, they're four
field goals. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot of field goals.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about you, Ryan?
I mean, it can be a combination of stuff. I was just saying. So I had already chosen 24-17.
All right.
Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah.
I hope we're better than that, but if we're not, then it's, you know, we better enjoy that last win.
And my tiebreaker is 8,000 fans.
8,000 fans.
So funny.
Oh, yeah. The official attendance?
That's what we'll do. That's awesome. Yeah, I like that. Even though we'll never know, it's still hilarious.
That's
so
ambitious.
Yeah. You can look it up later.
So 8,000, Nathan, for you. Hunter.
6969. What? I'm paying homage to my dad. It was his number.
How did you pick number that number? 69. You see?
And I think actually that number was picked for me by my older brother. He actually wore that jersey, and when I transferred in, he's like, "You gotta wear 69." I'm like, "I'm not wearing. I wore 65 my whole career." And he's like, "No, you're not wearing that. You're wearing." And you just dogged me down until finally I said, "Okay, I'm wearing it." So that's how I started wearing it.
So that's why I'm doing it. It's paying homage to my late uncle and my dad, 69 and 69. There we go.
So sweet of you, Hunter.
Uh-huh. Nice. You're all right, welcome. Dubber, what are you picking for Kansas?
I'm going to go right in between them. 30-14.
I'm assuming y'all are choosing TC to win all these.
Yes.
Yeah. Ryan, I didn't, you didn't say what your the fan total was.
Shoot, I'm gonna go like 4,500. Thanksgiving. I still think people are gonna come. Huh?
It is Thanksgiving weekend. Mm-hmm.
They gotta have at least that many season ticket sales, right? Just to get them in there.
Crappy thing. It's about the sales, not actually people who actually show up. I'm gonna take a picture. I'm gonna count them all out myself. I am.
There's that many people in Lawrence, though. Even if they everybody else leaves.
Don, what are you doing?
Well, Deborah, how many people did you say? Sorry.
Well, I'm waiting on you.
I'm waiting on me.
Hey, this is like the Price is Right. I'm waiting on the last bid.
You're gonna be $1. let's see. I'm gonna go score. I don't know. I'm gonna be ambitious.
No.
38-6.
Well, that would be awesome.
Cause I need it like that. After last week. Sure, why not?
And, we should be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to say 3,100 for the attendance.
I know.
Wait, what did you go?
Did you go 1,100 feet down, Sean? Is that what you're saying there?
No, I said 3,100 for attendance.
What did you say, Nathan?
Wow.
He said
8,000.
I'm going 8,001. I think they're going to keep me 8,001.
That's fair.
Well, all right. Well, hopefully you're right.
Cardboard cutout. Cardboard cutouts don't count.
Yeah. Dubber's looking to play Plinkito, or was it Plink? I forgot what it's called. What was the thing where you dropped the in Price is Right?
Plinko.
Thank you. That was it.
Plinko, yeah.
I was thinking Pinchinko. But that was something else.
You were on tonight.
That's good.
Star.
That's really good. All right. Well, there's our predictions. So, yeah. So, just to recap here, Nathan said 33-10 with 8,000 in attendance. Hunter had 28-12 with 6,969 in attendance.
No, Ryan, you had to say it the other way.
69 in attendance.
Nice.
Ryan had 24-17 with 4,500. Dubber was 30-14 with 8,001 in attendance. And I had 38-6 with 3,100 in attendance. So there you go. And if you want to play along with the Pick'em this week, go to killerfrogs.com, go to the forum, sign up for a free account, and go ahead and post in the thread in the forum. And let us know what's your final score for Kansas and how many do you think are going to show up in Lawrence, Kansas for the game. And the winner of that thread gets to pick one of many fabulous prizes. Ryan, can you tell them what they're going to win?
That is true. And then someone will eventually get those in the mail. Not that next week, maybe not even 2 weeks after, but it will eventually show up. Terrible.
That's good. All right. So with that, I think we've come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody who's out there listening to us. Of course, Killer Frogs podcast available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, pretty much everywhere you can find podcasts these days. And of course, you can find us on all the major social media accounts. And again, you can go to killerfrogs.com, sign up for a free account, and discuss TCU athletics with the rest of us knuckleheads. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's the time we get the horns up and we get to say,
go Frogs!